What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn, joined by Mike Crute and Dominic Salvia. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, helicopters and all, for the RNC 2024 convention. Donald Trump speaking tonight, J.D. Vance giving his acceptance speech last night. And in and amongst all of that pomp and circumstance, if you will, Dom and Crute, apparently there was a little Matt Gaetz, Kevin McCarthy kerfuffle. And then, of course, Van Orten had to get, I mean, so much here. So if you haven't heard this yet, let's take a listen. Matt Gaetz confronting Kevin McCarthy while Kevin McCarthy is getting interviewed on the floor of the convention in the Fiserv yesterday afternoon. Let's take a listen.
Speaking. What night are you speaking? Are you speaking tonight? Hey, you're not. If you took that stage, you would get booed off. You would get booed off the stage.
Now that's the confrontation. But an unidentified individual had some follow-up thoughts for Mr. Gaetz. Let's take a listen to that next.
You would get booed off the stage.
Shut up, Gaetz.
Dude, I don't even know who you are, man. It doesn't matter.
And then Gaetz just walks away, which is all you need to know about Matt Gaetz.
I'd like to submit that he all sorts. I think he pulled a sort
here,
well.
Go ahead, Brian.
He pulled a Shea Sortwell, because I saw Dominic Salvia do the same thing to Shea Sortwell, and the second he did that, he walked away like a child, too.
Yeah, in case you are not familiar with what Brian's talking about, it's basically when you stand up to a bully, they usually tuck tail and run away because they're now afraid and somebody's called them on their baloney. But that's not where the story ended, Mike. Of course, Congressman Van Orten had to get in on the action, did he not?
I've got coverage from the Hill. Rep. Derek Van Orden, Republican from Wisconsin, appeared to call Rep. Matt Gaetz, and I quote here, a little bitch, after an awkward exchange with former Rep. Kevin McCarthy at the Republican National Convention. I've used that very phrase. I saw a little bitch at the RNC today. I'll tell you later. Gaetz taunted McCarthy on the floor of the convention Tuesday night, telling the former speaker, and you heard this, that he'd get booed off the stage if he were to speak at the event. Van Orden reacted to a clip of the exchange on social platform X, the Twitter, where he pushed back on the description of the incident that said Gaetz needed to be physically held back by security. I actually think this is a little bit of a clever take from Van Orden. I'm just going to tell you, I just saw this. Tubby did not need to be physically held back. Understanding Tubby is Matt Gaetz.
Yes.
He pulled a hold me back, bro move to look like a tough guy because he is, in fact, a little bitch. Van Orden wrote on Twitter. That's why I don't tweet, Dom.
Well, I'm relieved that there is at least one point of agreement that I can find with Congressman Van Orden. And that is his opinion about Matt Gaetz.
But then Gaetz trolled him back, and it was,
of course he
did. Was excellent. The trolling, they're highly skilled. So Gaetz appeared to still want to target McCarthy by mocking him at the convention. What night are you speaking? Are you speaking tonight? Gaetz asked McCarthy. You've heard that. If you took the stage, you'd get booed. Now, the man standing behind Gaetz, the guy, and you heard him a little bit, was the Illinois GOP National Committeeman Richard Porter. And he could be heard talking to the lawmaker to shut up and don't be an a-hole. It doesn't effing matter who I am. Don't be an a-hole. Porter told Gaetz.
And that was the sound that we listened to just a moment ago. I mean, this is the congressional version of Drake and Kendrick Lamar beefing.
Well, here's the point I wanted to make. In response to Van Orden, Congressman Gaetz told the Hill, what is Derek Van Orden speaking at the convention in his home state?
Oops.
The same troll. He got you back, Van Orden.
He used the same burn. What an embarrassment.
It
I mean, really, this is how it is. This is what we're doing. This is what the best and brightest of the mega movement. This is how they interact. This is what we're going to do. I mean, it's just absolutely embarrassing. It's beneath the office, and every one of them people should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, Derek,
except they're not, right? They're oh no, that's good on me.
If my kids or my friends or someone was acting like that in public, like making a complete ass of themselves, the guy was right. Don't be an ass.
Yeah,
doesn't matter how I am. Don't do that. Don't act like that. That was the most adult thing I heard.
Yes.
These guys knocking on each other. Hey, when's your speaking? Or what do you
right.
got? And then Matt Gaetz gets up there, and if you want to talk about very strange look, a very strange,
a strange
look.
Appearance he has.
Strange.
Very taut in his face, like he had been heavily Botoxed.
I was just going to say, I could, it would completely be on brand for Matt Gaetz to have had Botox like minutes before he went up on stage, right? Like, yep, that tracks.
But at least he had a speaking part. You know who gets to speak tonight? You know who the performers are tonight warming up for Trump? Why, of course, we've got Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yes.
Because who amongst us is not a Hulkamaniac? And there will be plenty of Hulkamaniacs in the crowd. Well, UFC fight guy Dana White, and most importantly, Kid Rock will perform.
Oh my goodness!
Bow with the bow.
I mean, when the banner carriers for your political movement, for your platform, are a fake wrestler, a guy who exploits incredibly talented fighters to line his pockets with billions of dollars without putting in sufficient safety protections. And I know this is someone who did Muay Thai for 4.5 years. And who is the third guy that you were referencing?
Hulk Hogan,
Dana White. Oh, and Kid Rock. Like,
don't try to serve him a Bud Light tonight.
Yeah,
he won't be having it.
Absolutely not. It's just so very, very sad. Well, yep, Derek Van Orten always inserting himself into the most recent controversy with Tubby. Can rely on him for some crackerjack policy making on X. Gentlemen, there has also been an incredibly interesting sort of non-event in Milwaukee at the RNC. That is the whole hubbub that surrounded protesters. And it's basically turned out to be a bit of a nothing burger. Very fascinating. Are you surprised? Do you think the shooting had some dampening effect on folks' appetite to protest here at the RNC this
year?
Well,
I think the fact they're so far away from the actual conventioneers. I mean, they knew if they showed up to protest, they weren't really going to be protesting to anyone that was going to hear them. You know, who wants to go a mile away from an event and protest down the road? That doesn't garner any attention of the attendees, and that's sort of the point of a protest. Also, to be labeled as a protest,
yes.
There are different organizations that said we are not protesters,
yes,
and we don't want to be labeled as such. We just want to express First Amendment rights here. Well, not wanting to be thrown in or lumped in as protesters, some groups have stepped out and said we're not going to take our speaking parts and be so labeled. Maggie, I do think the shooting has certainly affected people. I mean, there is a freaking cop on every corner in the street right now.
Yes.
In the city of Milwaukee. I heard local residents. I heard a lady who clearly enjoyed singing, much as I do. Would you like to hear?
No, she was singing
on the street, and she was singing to the cops, and like she would just about get done with the tune, and then more cops. And she basically screamed to the world, there's a freaking cop on every corner in this city.
Well, there's like 4,000 police officers in for this event. So, you know, they got to go somewhere. And it's not unlike what happened in Cleveland. That's what they do. They're just on every single corner. So, but certainly anytime a shooting happens, that's scary. And it could certainly keep people away. And folks that, you know, don't want to get labeled necessarily with the ne'er-do-wells of the protest movement, you know, perhaps they'll stay away as well. But what I thought was interesting, Pier Marquette, the park that was, you know, included into the security zone so it could not be used for quote-unquote protests. Because why? Well, some folks at the RNC, they rented out, the museum right next
the
door.
The Historical Society.
They had a couple of events there, so that became part of it. But other than that, maybe two or three events there, a few hundred people, that park has been pretty much empty.
Well, and that was one of the areas of dispute in the lawsuit between the Coalition to March on the RNC 2024 and the City of Milwaukee and the Secret Service. It was that park in particular that was, again, part of the lawsuit, subject to so much debate. And it's basically been a ghost town, which the point that I extrapolate from a lot of that is this. The current Republican Party, which is no longer conservative nor any semblance of republicanism, excuse me, that party does not like to see its ideas tested. They can't have difficult and detailed discussions about particular policy proposals. They just want to hold up signs that say mass deportations, right? Okay, let's just assume that's a good idea, but how are you going to get that done? There's no detail at all, right? So to here, even having protesters at Pere Marquette Park, which is not adjacent to Fiserv, it's not adacent to the Panther Arena, it's still at least two blocks east of where the main action is. That too was too close for comfort.
Too close.
Because you cannot have your ideas tested. They don't stand up to scrutiny. I think it's a very interesting foil for what has become of the entire MAGA movement and the Republican
Party. Well, and the Republicans use their money to rent out the buildings specifically so they wouldn't have to deal with those dirty protesters. So using the money to stifle, you know, free speech. It sounds very on point for these Republicans.
On brand, so, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been quite impressed by individual protesters. We met Anthony the other day. Anthony was lonely, but he was sitting there in an anti-Trump shirt and holding a sign, and he was just berating the delegates as they entered. There was another lady featured on Dan O'Donnell's show, right-wing talk radio host, some lovely lady, and I actually thought she was very effective. She just hammered it, and as I walked on campus this morning, joined our colleagues in broadcast over in the green zone, there was one guy wearing a Puerto Rican shirt and very loud, and he was screaming, Trump will grab you by the and he said, you can't love part of them, you gotta love all of them, you know, and he's yelling this at the delegates, and I'm thinking, I don't know if it's impactful, but he's hard to ignore.
These two guys are definitely hard to ignore. I got Mike Crute and Dom Salvia with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network special coverage from live coverage from downtown Milwaukee of the 2024 RNC. Back.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Coast Guard, and those were the helicopters you're hearing. It has been a hallmark of my 4 days here.
I thought I was just paranoid, man.
Nope, Mike, it's not you, it's me. In that same vein, Derek Van Orten, it wasn't the young lady. It wasn't her. It was you, Derek. There's some breaking news on that, Dom. Tell us.
The Journal Sentinel reporting no charges against the Code Pink anti-war protester, Derek Van Orten, accused of assault. I won't get into it a whole lot. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Derek Van Orten apparently got into this altercation outside the Pfister for, you know, GOP women luncheon or something. And seemingly came up to this protester from behind, tried to get by. She resisted. And he, apparently she hit-checked him, and he got injured.
So he claims.
And I've seen a picture of the young lady. She's like 5 feet, 100 pounds. And not only that, the way that the congressman has addressed and labeled, identified this.
She could have been a roller derby queen. You don't know.
he called it an incident of, quote, political violence. Political violence. What, dude? You are the one being rude, trying to slam past somebody who presumably was identified very easily as a Palestinian supporter, given what she was wearing and all that. So that's you engaged in that behavior.
You initiated this entire encounter.
And now you
that's
call
not
it
political violence. That's just you being a big fat jerk, Derek.
Big fat jerk who accused this lady of political violence, who then ordered or asked the Milwaukee Police Department, some police enforcement officers, to arrest this lady, which they eventually did. And she was in the holding cell in jail for 15 hours, released at 2 o'clock in the morning. And now they're going to say, No charges. How can you have no charges when a sitting congressman has been obviously assaulted? It's a political assault, but the cops say no charges.
They looked at police body cam.
Let's see the police body cam. Let's see.
I hope they do release it, but there was not sufficient evidence apparently to charge. The reporting at the Journal Sentinel, Dom, jumping forward in the reporting, Van Orten on Wednesday told a crowd of Wisconsin Republicans that he is been hit harder from air coming out of a blow dryer, then why are you calling for an arrest? Still, he called on people who commit political violence to be prosecuted to the greatest extent of the law.
Wasn't he at January 6th with all a bunch of people
he
who
was.
Committed
yeah.
political?
He was.
Can we define?
That's political violence.
Thank you. I just want to be clear.
You bullying your way and trying to cut a line and a young woman saying, I prefer that you, she didn't even say anything, but like physically was like, what you doing? That's not political violence. That's you being a jerk. I have this message for Congressman Van Orton. If you would like to experience the hip check of hip checks at the hands of a woman, come on by. I got time for that, Derek.
I know you did rugby. Have you ever done roller derby, though?
No, but I was recruited. I politely declined. My days of deep tissue bruises and broken bones, I think, need to be behind me at this point.
Asked by the Journal Sentinel this week what injuries he sustained, Van Orton said the 24-year-old woman, and here's his quote, hip-checked me into cement. He said the hip hurt, but noted he's in pain all the time.
Wow.
A little bit more. Is that because of her or because of me? He said, of the pain in his hip. I don't know, and I don't care.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. He tried to cut in line, so I stood in front of him because I was first. The Code Pink protester.
How dare
said.
You?
Now, let's again, remember, whether or not there's actual, you know, body cam video of this incident, this is outside the Pfister. I mean, the president's right. staying at the Pfister, right? This street's locked down, this whole block. There are cameras all over the place. We need to find those cameras. And that dude needs to apologize and probably resign.
Who's in charge of the video?
I'm sure he'll get right on
yes,
that, Tom.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is it Brian Style that controls the video? Because the last time Derek Van Orton had a public incident and he got caught on the camera, didn't Brian Style
what, be
try
rating,
to cover
be
it up?
Rating some young volunteer, pages in Congress?
Senatorial pages.
Come on.
Berating them profanely. That's the behavior of a little bitch.
Folks, that's my crew. It's one half, the better or the worse half, up to you, of the Devil's Advocate radio show, which you can hear following my show every day across the Civic Media Radio Network and on WMDX from 3 to 6 p.m. They're joining me, Maggie Dawn, today for the last day of some of our special coverage of the RNC 2024 here in downtown Milwaukee. Again, Derek. Hip checks available. Just give me a call.
Hey, where'd you take us to dinner last night? That place was awesome.
A bunch of us from Civic Media got together and we had a little family dinner yesterday evening at the original just off of Oakland and North Avenue in Milwaukee's.
Oh, man. Highly recommend
the original. It was
so
good.
Let me take the opportunity since we're doing this to just say thanks both to you, gentlemen, Mike, Dom, but also to the entire Civic Media team who's done extraordinary work keeping us looking and sounding good over the course of the RNC here in Milwaukee.
Here,
it is yeoman work that seems to go all day and all night. I'm glad we were all able to break some bread together. Thanks to all the gentlemen and ladies that have been part of this. What do we have cooked up for the next half hour? We'll have to dive back into the conversation about the biggest news in the world today. Apparently, Barack Obama adding to the voices calling for President Joe Biden to step aside, perhaps paving the way for Kamala Harris to find herself at the top of the Democratic ticket. I know all of you are very interested to talk with me and Joe Walsh. I know you'll be just as interested to talk with Mike and Dom and I about that very topic. So much to come. Again, it feels like just a never-ending avalanche of news every day. Politically speaking, as a strategy point, if Joe Biden's going to step back, isn't today the best of all possible days to do that? What do you think, Dom?
The fact that all these leaks are coming out, whether or not he does it today or does it over the weekend, as some of the reporting I've seen, I don't know if that'll make that much of a difference.
Steal that RNC bump,
that's
baby.
What it I does mean. Make a difference.
But it's already there. It's not just Barack Obama. It's also Jamie Raskin. We talked about yesterday, Adam Schiff. And you know,
Joe
apparently
Scarborough this morning on MSNBC.
Nancy Pelosi. Apparently. Yeah. So the fact that these leaks, quote unquote leaks, because these are all behind the scenes conversations, right? I mean,
yeah.
What does that mean? What does that mean as far as the party is concerned? If you can't get your leadership of the party to go along with you, if they're the one talking like this, and they're qualifying it, Joe, it's up to you. You know, have a farewell party. Thanks for all you've done there. I mean, I think they're saying the right things. and it's ultimately going to be his decision. Yeah, if you want to take, if you want to take the wind out of the sails today, yeah, today would be the day. But I don't know if it's really going to matter if this thing continues to evolve.
Take him out for a last supper at the original.
Yes, he'll eat well, friends.
I'm joined this hour by Mike Crute and Dominic Salvia of the Devil's Advocates Radio. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media Radio Network's live coverage of the RNC 2024 from downtown Milwaukee. Your calls and texts up next, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Keep it locked.
Look at you, and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon that you stole from the sky.
It might be a devil moon or two devil's advocates, but I got Dom and Mike with me this afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network special live coverage of the RNC 2024 coming to you from downtown Milwaukee. I'm joined by the Devil's Advocates. You can find them every weekday following my show from 4 to 6 and on WMDX from 3 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks again, guys.
Yes, thank you.
Let's jump in both feet. The big news of the day, an ever-increasing number of incredibly high-profile Democrats calling on Joe Biden to step out of the race. Talked about it for a good long time with Joe Walsh before you all joined me. And I want to give some air to the texters. Then we'll hear what you guys think about what the president should be doing and thinking. This is Liz from Sockville saying, I stand by Biden. If he steps down, however, I'll still vote Democrat and hope all Democrats will rally together no matter what. I love Pete Buttigieg. I like and support Biden. This is a texter from the 414. I like and support Biden, but let's be honest. This Duracell bunny has had a good run, but it's on its last drum beat. Let's move forward with Kamala. Steve from Lodi saying, I think Jeffries and Crockett would be the best president and vice president for America. Sherry from Madison also weighing in, still in favor of Biden. Llama from Madison, I believe Biden should be the vice president. It pushes Kamala up and people will see Joe as a support for Kamala as president. That's an interesting take. Troy from Madison also weighing in support of Biden. Ross from Crawford County. A 608 texter from the WMDX area says, I'm still nervous about ballots. Will a replacement be allowed on the ballots? We already discussed that the right has people ready to sue. Joe Biden has sewn up the delegates. I mean, that's an interesting question. I've asked it a few times myself, called someone who is an expert on ballots and electoral processes in Wisconsin. They assured me that they believed their side could put Kamala or a different nominee on the ballot. But let's get to it,
And on that point, though, Maggie, I mean, obviously that's a shrinking window, right? Do we know like what's that kind of deadline look like? And perhaps for the state of Wisconsin,
September 3rd.
Correct.
That's the ballot date.
That's coming quick.
So you've got the entire DNC to make this determination.
Yeah.
What I would warn against, I mean, ultimately the decision will be Joe Biden's to make.
Yes.
But I would strongly warn the DNC not to do a virtual roll call and nominate Joe Biden the first week of August. Do it on the floor and let the chips fall. By the way, we've got a texter texting in on the Devil's line. I've lived in all areas of Wisconsin all my life, and anyone that thinks Wisconsin voters outside of Madison and Milwaukee will vote for Kamala Harris are crazy. This one coming in from the 920. Now, I did see new polling out today, guys. This poll says that Democrats, about 79% of them, would favor or be just fine with Kamala Harris replacing Joe Biden at the top of the ticket.
Yeah.
I would suspect it might be a bigger number than that. I don't think they're going to bleed any voters that are Biden supportive currently and are sticking on with Biden through his
if you're going to especially if Biden encourages, if Biden does, you know, the leadership right. thing, steps back, allows it to happen, and then supports, if it's Kamala, say, hey, folks, everybody get behind her. If he's a willing participant player in that whole thing, I think you're right. I don't think it would lose a whole lot of people.
That is really the 8,000-pound gorilla, right? If the Democrats make a pivot towards Kamala, does she retain all of Biden's current support? That seems amongst the insiders to be the question of the hour. That's what the concern is, because we can't afford to lose anyone at this juncture.
Yeah, but the entire Biden support at this late hour is the weakened at Bernie's crew, the people like Don that say, I'd vote for him no matter what. Cardboard cutout, I'm voting for Joe Biden.
Yes.
That is, I mean, when you got two-thirds of the Democratic Party in polling saying replace the guy at the top of the ticket, that is the only support you've got left are those that are going to support the man no matter who is at the top of the ticket.
But there's a distinction between those that would prefer to see a different candidate at the top of the ticket
sure.
and those that will, yep, I'd like someone else, but I'm going to vote for blue no matter who. That's a difference, because you're seeing in those same polling that most of the head-to-head matchups put Kamala Harris slightly ahead of Joe Biden in terms of her versus Trump, but still the race within the margins of error.
But that's before any of the buzz that, I
mean.
Correct,
Mike. That is point in time today.
Before you put them head-to-head on the debate stage, and I'd take a litigator like Kamala Harris, a former attorney general of the state of California, against a felon on a debate stage, yeah,
any
give me that
day.
Optic any day.
Yeah, a prosecutor, that's the frame. Here's the prosecutor, and here's the felon. Go at it, right? Andrew from Verona also saying, I'm so sick of it. The DNC and these Democratic leaders need to get their act together, and they should have had it together months ago. Yes, the debate performance happened, but it's not like Joe's been locked in a closet for no one to see. Thanks, Andrew. Let's listen to a little bit about what J.D. Vance had to say.
Oh, the Republicans' VP choice.
Yes.
Doesn't he hate that Trump guy? Because I was watching some...
Didn't he call him America's Hitler?
It was interesting.
Cultural heroin.
The Lincoln Project has these driving movie billboards driving around Milwaukee right now. I watched the entirety of one. I posted one on Facebook. And it's the Lincoln Project using J.B. Vance's words against Donald Trump. And they're driving around town. They're all over the place. I love that message. That has been the most effective message I've seen at the RNC.
Yeah, he's also said, I'm never a Trump guy. I never liked him. My God, what an idiot. Noxious, reprehensible, a cynical a-hole. And he said that he was considering supporting Hillary Clinton in 2016. Again.
I would have thought it was Dom if you didn't throw in the Hillary Clinton part.
Come on.
The shoe fits, friend. I mean, hey. All right, Brian, let's take a little listen on what Vance had to say about NAFTA. And Joe Biden.
When I was in the fourth grade, a career politician by the name of Joe Biden supported NAFTA, a bad trade deal that sent countless good jobs to Mexico.
Lovely.
Who is this, Ross Perot?
Basically, it also made goods incredibly cheap for Americans to buy. The problem was, an economist knew this at the time that NAFTA was signed as a deal under President Clinton, was that when you open trade, you have these regional trade alliances, which NAFTA is, you do end up displacing jobs. And so you know that that's going to happen. What you need is job retraining, reskilling, upskilling, as well as relocation. Guess what Democrats, including then Senator Joe Biden, supported? An additional package that would have done that following the adoption of NAFTA. Of course, conservatives blocked that, while at the same time the Republicans then supported NAFTA overwhelmingly.
Yes.
Free trade, global trade, all of that has always been a hallmark of the Republican Party. So odd that fourth grader J.D. Vance, you know, now wants to change history. J.D., your party was just as for NAFTA as Joe Biden and Bill Clinton were back in 2004.
Yeah, but they got memories like goldfish.
None at all. Let's listen to Jay.
Memories. Yep. That's assuming that you even believe and understand, you know, history and can look at something objectively and accept of certain facts. The, you know, the mindset of so many of these Republicans now is reality is what I just decide to say it is, and now that's what it is.
It's
period.
Whatever Trump tells us it is.
Absolutely. Here's J.D. Vance somehow working in a little Semper Fi. Brian, let's take a listen.
Semper Fi to my fellow Marines.
Ooh-wah.
I mean, okay. And respect for his service. Let's keep listening about kids being sent to war.
When I was a senior in high school, that same Joe Biden supported the disastrous invasion of Iraq. And at each step of the way, in small towns like mine in Ohio or next door in Pennsylvania or Michigan, in states all across our country, jobs were sent overseas and our children were sent to war.
He's trying to hold Joe Biden accountable for the Iraq war? What the W?
Yes. I was just going to say, you want to know who supported the invasion of Iraq, who led it, who pitched it to the American public? Republicans and George W. Bush. This is absolutely ridiculous, and it is worthy of mention that various surrogates for the Kremlin, for Vladimir Putin's regime, in response to J.D. Vance pick as the VP, have basically celebrated all over Russia media and news. They've come out publicly and said how terrific that is. Gee whiz, I wonder why. Because J.D. Vance has said, I don't give a crap what happens to Ukraine, even though every foreign policy expert tells us that that is but step three in a long range of steps that Putin has to basically start to encroach upon Western Europe and all of our allies. Isolationism is ridiculous.
America first. It is isolationism. And it's amazing how quickly this party went from, you know, the traditional GOP values to the mega isolationism.
Let's take a little bit more. Talks about being from Ohio. Let's take a listen.
My name is J.D. Vance from the great state of Ohio.
And apparently J.D. Vance will headline a presidential rally on Monday in his hometown of Middletown, Ohio. 1:30 Eastern, if you're planning on attending, people.
Again, Middletown, Ohio, on the western edge of Ohio, nowhere near the Appalachian region, but somehow he is also a hillbilly. The thing that I know about J.D. Vance is that he is a poseur of the highest order. And last but not least, let's take Vance talking about being a leader.
A leader who rejects Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's Green New Scam and fights to bring back our great American factories. We need President Donald J. Trump.
I heard it was a pretty meh kind of speech.
Yeah, my review of some of the clips, I didn't watch the whole thing, is that he didn't really grab the crowd. This speaks to J.D. Vance's utter lack of any relevant experience whatsoever to be vice president. He's barely been a senator for more than, I think, like 18 months. And he was a senator because billionaire Peter Thiel funded his campaign because he's the lapdog to the billionaire donor class and the wealthiest corporations in America. All J.D. Vance wants to do is get rid of Medicare and Social Security and reduce taxes for those that already have all that they could possibly ever need while leaving middle class Americans behind. Don't believe the hype. Here's a quote. This is Wednesday. A quote, Russia's Lavrov welcomes vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance's stance on Ukraine amid European concern. Putin's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, absolutely thrilled by J.D. Vance's selection. I wonder why. Lavrov saying this, quote, he's in favor of peace. He's in favor of ending the assistance that's being provided to Ukraine. And we can only welcome that because that's what we need. Yes, to desert Ukraine so that Vladimir Putin can have his way. That is insane. That coverage coming from Reuters, absolutely horrifying.
If I've just made a comment on one thing that the J.D. Vance, Senator Vance had to say, the Green New Scam, you know, you hear this. And I'd just like to point out today, NBC News is reporting over 300 deaths suspected to be linked to this summer's record-breaking heat waves are being investigated in a single Arizona county, Maricopa County. Maricopa County showed 322 deaths are suspected to have been a result of heat-related illness in the year July 13th, a huge increase on last year. Almost 100 of those suspected heat deaths are attributed to a single week, July 7th to the 13th, when temperatures reached 118 degrees. This came after parts of Arizona, Nevada, Texas experienced their hottest record in June on record.
Yeah, denying reality or calling it the Green New Scam doesn't make climate change any less real. And the lives of Americans that it will take, as well as people across the world, doesn't make that any less horrifying or terrible, despite what 18-month-old Senator J.D. Vance says. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We'll talk more about Vance and the situation with Joe Biden with input from you when we come back. 855-757-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn with Dom and Crute. You're listening to Civic Media's special coverage of the 2024 RNC. Back in just a moment.
Blind me with love.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
Convention floor.
It's a heartwarming sentiment, is it not?
America. Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, openly calling for the mass deportation of 12 million, 15 million, 20 million immigrants from this country. That is incredibly scary. And I happened to be on the floor of the Fiserv Forum yesterday when Greg Abbott was warming up. He was trying out the teleprompters and the mics for his big mass deportations now speech. And he was reading the Gettysburg Address. We've got the sound because Brian went and got it for me. Thanks, Brian.
Nice.
Let's take a listen. This is Greg Abbott yesterday rehearsing by reading Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
That all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or anything so conceived and so dedicated can long endure.
Ew. I mean, just hearing the guy who has erected illegal, unconstitutional boundaries, has kept the U.S. Border Patrol from accessing the border in a state, resulting in horrifying deaths of people just trying to get to this country to find a better life, which, again, I don't mean to say that we need to do better on immigration. We need more immigration judges. We need more Border Patrol agents. But to act as if the solution to this problem is mass deportations without explaining to anyone what exactly that would entail is frankly disgusting. Earlier today, I also heard reports that Donald Trump was touring the Fiserv Forum, the bowl and the convention stage, checking it out, and had none other than Stephen Miller at his right hand. Stephen Miller, if you forget the name, he is the undead, and he also was the architect of Donald Trump's family separation policies and is the one advocating for the forced deportation of 15 to 20 million folks in this country. The question has to be asked, how would you get that done?
Right.
With what law enforcement? Where are you keeping them? We actually do have immigration laws. They're not working very well, but we have those here. Does the president just wipe those away because the Supreme Court anointed him king and he can commit crimes and ignore the law? Like, how does this actually work? Are you raiding homes? Internment camps?
Oh, there will absolutely need to be internment camps, of course, because you got to process them before you.
That's the hallmark of any good authoritarianism.
Right. How do we move them between the internment camps? Do we lay down railroad tracks with boxcars and squeeze people into? I mean, this is what the policy is.
That's so cumbersome to say. Let's just call them concentration camps.
Yes. Here is where we're at. These are the people making or promising foreign policy to throngs of folks at the RNC who seem utterly unconcerned with the idea of internment camps.
Well, they're utterly unconcerned with any of the details or specifics or logistics or cost or impact, not only on economy, on families. I mean, there are, how are you going to do it, logistically speaking? You're going to have the local police do that? You can't do that. You're going to start breaking all current federal law? Can't do that. You know, they had options. There was a bipartisan Senate plan. You know, I mean, they decided
for
the very this very purpose, so they could put those signs up, mass deportation now, without any detail. You don't need details. Build that wall, and Mexico's going to pay for it. Wait, what? I mean, you think anyone's looking for the specifics of any proposal coming out of MAGA? No, absolutely not.
It's their brand.
Gin them up, get them going, let us in, and we'll worry about the details later. Don't worry your pretty little self about it.
A few months ago, Trump was asked this exact question. How would you get this done? Are you going to use the military? Of course, yes, it would involve using the military. When we talk about military, generally speaking, I talk National Guard. He added that he would have, quote, no problem using the military per se, though he thinks the National Guard would suffice. He also said that laws meant to prevent the use of military against civilians inside of the U.S. Note that that law is any civilian within the United States. It's not limited to citizens. Trump said this: these aren't civilians. These are people who aren't legally in our country. This is an invasion of our country. I'm sure that they would execute mass deportations humanely and without violating people's dignity and basic human rights.
Even if that's the case, which of course is not the case, don't the other countries receiving those folks back have to accept them?
Well, there's that detail.
I'm just asking. And of course, some folks have come here. Maybe someone's been here for 20 years. Maybe they have, you know, kids who are U.S. citizens based on current law. You're gonna separate them the other way, sending them back? Is that? You know what I'm saying? You're going to put the U.S. kids in detention camps on the borders and send the parents back? I'm just wondering how you're going to handle it.
I wonder how much all that might cost.
You got to think it'd be something. But we'll make the countries whose the original countries came from, these people came from, they'll pay for it.
Because Mexico didn't do that the first time around. Mike,
yes, ma'am.
What are you looking for? What are you listening for tonight during Donald Trump's acceptance speech?
I'm going to be looking for either a waitress or a bartender. Dom has promised me a trip out to the yacht club.
I love it. First of all, Dom and yacht club in the same sentence creates so much cognitive dissonance for me. I don't know what to say.
It is the most glorious Roman coin of yacht clubs you could ever possibly imagine.
My brother, what are you looking for this evening from Donald Trump?
You know, the most dangerous thing that Donald Trump could do, I mean, electorally speaking, is come out and actually talk about unity and actually talk about, you know, uniting this country and getting along and working on our very difficult problems. That would resonate with some folks, but he's not going to do that.
I don't think so either.
It's not in him to do it. So I'm looking for him to crap the bed. That's what I'm looking for.
My prediction, pain.
And you're Maggie, what are you looking for? What's your expectation?
What I'm looking for is my vacation, which starts tomorrow. You're going to have Matt Rothschild, and on Monday and Tuesday next week, Jim Santel and Matt Rothschild to take you through this next cycle of news. My name is Maggie Dawn. You've been listening to me with Dom and Crew to the Devil's Advocate radio show. They're up next. Thanks so much for listening, folks. It's been a real pleasure, privilege, and at times, scary burden to live through the RNC with y'all. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together. That's going to do it for this two-hour block of Civic Media's special RNC coverage. Stay tuned.
Devil's Triangle.